A strong biblical foundation is the baseline for Christian growth. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to build on principles from God's Word.
I don't think it was comfortable for John Bunyan, the author of Pilgrim's Progress, to be placed in prison because he would not take a license to preach. I don't think it was comfortable for John Huss to be burned at the stake. But these were men who said, I've got some discipline, doctrinal devotion in my life, and I don't care what happens in the world around me. I will stand up for Jesus Christ.
Spiritual discipline sounds great in theory, but putting it into practice takes time and determination. In our series, Building Below the Baseline, Pastor Chappell illustrates the importance of building the part of life that no one else sees, but God. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our churches and homes today need Christians willing to build their lives on eternal truth rather than worldly trends. Our series today is designed to give us practical lessons that will help us pursue a life marked by biblical wisdom. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Building Discipline.
The Bible says, I therefore, so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Notice Paul was temperate in all things. Paul was purposeful in all things. He said, I don't just swing at nothing. He said, if I'm going to swing, I want to make it count. I'm not just going to beat the air. And he said, I'm not just going to run about uncertainly, but there's going to be a purpose to everything that I do. His life had a purpose. And that purpose was that he might win Christ, that he might be pleasing to Christ. The Bible speaks of it in chapter 9 and verse number 22. Notice, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. You see, the purpose of his discipline, yes, it was to know Christ, but it was also that others might know Christ. And he said, I want to live my life in such a way that others may know him and that others may see him in me. He was temperate in all things. He was purposeful in all things. Thirdly, he was controlled in all things. He was controlled in all things. Look at verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it in unto subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Would you read this with me? Verse 27, ready, begin. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others,
I myself should be a castaway.
It's a tragic day when someone who has preached to others becomes a castaway. When a father raises his children, look at here. Don't you put your children in the school with no intention to live for Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what we teach them Monday through Friday. If you're living a rebellious, undisciplined life, your children will follow that example. You see, the fact of the matter is, we need men tonight who will live a life whereby they are disciplined spiritually in the spiritual disciplines. I keep under my body, Paul said, and bring it into subjection. Oh, tonight, what a tragedy that there are young people that grow up in churches like this. And yet because of someone that abandons the faith, it just is so hard on their heart and their life. What a tragedy that oftentimes church leaders will go along for a while and then they abandon their faith and they go AWOL. Paul said, I don't want that to happen. He said, I don't want to be a castaway. I don't want to be someone that said something to someone else that I wasn't living out in my own life. I want it to be real in my life. And so he said, I keep under my body. This literally means that he buffeted his body. It means that he disciplined his body through hardship. And you've heard the old saying, no pain, no what? No pain, no gain. I have a friend who says it this way, no pain, no pain. That's his motto. Most of us don't like pain. But Paul said, I'm willing to go through some pain. I don't think it was comfortable for Martin Luther to rise up every morning at 4 a.m. and pray. But he said, I've got so much to do today, I must begin my day in prayer at 4 a.m. I don't think it was comfortable for John Bunyan, the great Baptist preacher and the author of Pilgrim's Progress, to be placed in prison because he would not take a license to preach. But he said, I'm going to do what God has called me to do. I don't think it was comfortable for John Huss to be burned at the stake. I don't think it was comfortable for Tyndale to be burned at the stake. But these were men who said, I've got some discipline, doctrinal devotion in my life, and I don't care what happens in the world around me. I will stand up for Jesus Christ. Amen. Where are the temperate men today who will keep under their body? Now tonight, there's only one way to live that level of discipline, and it goes back to last week. That is to be filled by the Spirit. That is to walk in the Spirit. That is to listen to the Holy Spirit when He calls you to your devotions in the morning. When He calls you to soul winning time. When He calls you to church time. You see, the Holy Spirit will lead the way, and then you must follow in submission and in a disciplined life unto the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. Paul said, I make my body the body of a slave. I want to keep my body disciplined for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was his practice each and every day. He lived a life that was controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, and he brought his body into subjection. America has succumbed to the theology of Flip Wilson. If it feels good, do it. The devil made me do it. It seems like the average Christian today just follows the leading of the body and not the leading of the Holy Spirit. If we follow the leadership of our body, half of us wouldn't be in church right now. Thank God you had enough discipline to say, I'm going to get to the house of God tonight. But I guarantee the devil didn't want you here, the world didn't want you here, your drunk buddy didn't want you here, and sometimes your own body doesn't want to come. But thank God you died to self, you put aside the desires of the flesh, and you walked in the spiritual discipline of the Christian life, and you came to the house of God tonight. That's how America became a great nation. That's how Lancaster Baptist Church was built. Not by soulless, fleshly men who did what they wanted to do, but by men of God who died to self and walked in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The purpose of discipline is so that we can finish the race. The practice of discipline is that we would keep under our body and bring our body into subjection to the Spirit. Listen, you either live a fleshly controlled life or a Spirit controlled life. And when you live the Spirit controlled life, you don't follow every impulse of the flesh. You follow God's leading in your life. Amen. Amen. Notice not only the purpose of discipline, not only the practice of discipline, but notice thirdly the prize of discipline. The prize of discipline. Now, first of all, let me say this. How many of you believe that every Christian is a winner? I do. Everyone who's saved is heaven bound. But I do not believe that every Christian will be rewarded in the same way at the judgment seat of Christ. And I do believe that there will come a day of accounting. We're not going to have to give account for our sins. The old account was settled long ago right there. But I want you to see the rest of this with me, and I want you to think about the prize of discipline. First of all, think about the destination of the racer. Where will we all stand one day? Turn briefly to Romans 14, if you would, tonight. Romans 14:10. You see, in Corinth, they have their stadium. The Greek and Roman games were conducted there, the Olympics. But they also had their bema seat. I remember years ago visiting Corinth and looking onto the bema seat and seeing in front of it the track area where the runners would run. I remember seeing the cuts in the stone on the road. There were cuts maybe an inch or two deep. And I remember the tour guide telling me that's where the athletes would place their feet, something like a starting block. And they would wait, and they would be told that they could go. And when they crossed the finish line in first place, they would then come to the bema seat. And having 10 months of preparation for that one race, they would stand there at the bema seat. And one day we will stand at the bema seat, the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in Romans 14:10, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And we will give account there. And the scriptures tell us in the book of 2 Corinthians that the things that we've done that are not of a spiritual nature, even the works that we've done in church that were done for selfish reasons, they are likened to wood, hay, and stubble. And they will be burned. But those things that were done out of a pure heart for the Lord are gold, silver, and precious stones. And they will be tried so as by fire. And we will receive the rewards of the Lord Jesus Christ and have opportunity there to then present them at His feet. For He alone is worthy of such things. And so the destination of every believer is, yes, heaven. But for those who faithfully run their race, there is this mindset. There is this reminder each and every day. One day I will stand before the Lord for the way I served Him. One day it's not going to be 12 pastors or bishops, but it's the Lord Himself. And I will stand there and be judged for the way that I live my life in accordance to His Word and for the way that He lived His life through me as I yielded to Him. And so that's the destination. Notice secondly, the declaration. And I want you to just turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 for just a moment. There is a declaration about this place called the judgment seat of Christ. There's a reason that we preach tonight and challenge tonight and we keep the standard high tonight, because one day we're going to stand before Jesus Christ. And I want you to see 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And therefore we understand that whether we have done well in our service or whether we have missed opportunities in our service, it's not speaking of our sin, but it's speaking of our service for the Lord. And we will be rewarded according to our faithfulness to the Lord. I believe there'll be a soul winner's crown in heaven. I believe there'll be a reward for faithful witnessing. There'll be a reward for looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe we'll have opportunity there to perhaps hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you turn off some television, if you turn off some rotten computer gossip, if you turn off some of the junk that abounds in our society, and you say, "Enough of that, I want to hear what God says in His Word." And if you say, "I don't care what team's playing on Sunday night, I'm going to get to the house of God." And if you say, "I don't care what someone else thinks about me, I'm going to pass out the gospel tract to this waitress and tell her there's a God in heaven who loves her." I'm saying if you buffet your body, if you discipline yourself, I'm saying if you spend time in prayer and spend time in the Word, you will not regret for one moment that you did those things when you stand before Jesus Christ. As the songwriter said, "Oft times the day seems long, life's trials hard to bear, but my friend, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus Christ." It will be worth it all, my friend. I know what the devil tells you. "Oh, your body's tired and the new chairs aren't as comfortable and the air conditioning's too cold and the ushers aren't friendly and it's dark outside," and I don't know what all else he might tell you. But I want to challenge you tonight. Buffet your body, walk in the Spirit. It will be worth it all when you see Jesus Christ. The Corinthians received a simple wreath. And they were given that wreath by those who stood at the bema seat. And you can see in some of the Roman sculptures of the period how the wreath was placed on many of the heads of the strong athletes who lived that disciplined life. But we'll not receive such a temporal, corruptible crown. What we receive will be an incorruptible opportunity to give praise and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn, if you would, to one final verse, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. I think about America tonight. I wonder, where are the Christian patriots tonight? Where are the people that will stand up for Jesus? Where are the people that stand up for life and stand up for liberty? And I think we have only received liberty because of our Christian forefathers who understood it to be a gift from God, our Creator. And the Bible speaks of this in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. Paul said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Somehow, from the moment that Paul was converted on the road to Damascus, no doubt a road that is spilled even today with the blood of Christians being murdered by ISIS, from the moment that Paul the apostle was saved on that road, until the very last moment, the very last breath that was taken in the city of Rome, Paul had this passion in mind. He woke up every day thinking about the day that he would see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. If some of you that work at the base were told, in 19 days you're going to see the general, he's coming in from such and so base, he's a 4-star general, you better get ready. I'm telling you, there are men in this room who every single day for 19 days, they would get ready for the coming of that general. They would shine their shoes, they would shine their brass on their uniform, they would press and clean, and they would get ready, and they would live for 19 days with that thought in mind. If we were told that the governor or the president, irrespective of their political views, were coming to this church, we'd clean the church, we'd get ready, we'd make way. Why? Because someone was coming. I'm telling you something, my friend. Paul lived every day with this thought in mind. One day I'm going to see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, and I want to be a disciplined man in my walk with him. I want to see him face to face, and I want it to be like a homecoming day. I want it to be the greatest day. I want to be able to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want to receive that crown of righteousness and then lay it right back down at his feet. And I want to say, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." I want to challenge some of you men, some of you who may have the little thought, I'll be faithful to the church as long as my kids are in the school. God deliver us from such type of Christianity, this type of idea. I'll go to church because the little lady wants me to. God give us some men who live for God and who have a disciplined life. These type of ideas that say, "I'll go to church as long as it helps me out." Let me just say tonight, where are the men who would say with the Apostle Paul, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." God give us men in this church who aren't just here for the little season till we can get to the point that we're ready to do what we want to do. God give us men who would say, "I'm here to fight the fight." Now, I believe our pastor's in a spiritual battle. I intend to pray with him and to witness with him and to be involved in the battle with him. It's not just one. It's all of us on the field. I've fought a good fight. Where are the men who would say, "I have finished my course. I have kept the faith"? Oh, listen tonight. Every one of you perhaps could tell me about some preacher, some deacon, some evangelist, somebody that got a little crossways in their spirit and they're nowhere near where they once were spiritually. And don't you think for a moment that couldn't be you. And I don't think for a moment it couldn't be me. May we recognize tonight that without a disciplined life, a life that is born from devotion for God, the love of Christ constraining me, I love the thought of seeing Jesus more than the thought of seeing the general, more than the thought of seeing some athletic person. I love the thought of seeing Jesus so much that I want to make sure I'm ready when he comes. I want to make sure I've been reading his word. I want to make sure I've been in prayer. I want to make sure I've been telling others about Jesus, because when he comes, that's all that's going to matter. Do you understand this tonight? When he comes, it won't matter what your rank is at work. When he comes, it won't matter what you drive. When he comes, it won't matter who you know or who you don't know. When he comes, it won't matter what kind of clothes you have. When he comes, there's only one thing that will really matter, and that is that you lived a disciplined, godly life in anticipation of his coming again. May God give us men and women who would say, "I'll fight the good fight. I want to finish my course. I don't want to abandon the faith." 80% of all young people that leave Christian homes and churches and go to secular colleges abandon their faith within 18 months. There is an agenda, ladies and gentlemen. Secular humanists, atheists, the largest and fastest growing religious group in America, it's the non-believers, the fastest growing group in America today. I will stand up for Jesus Christ. Say, "Oh, but I might not get my promotion." By the way, don't worry too much about that. Joseph got around that rule pretty easily. There've been a lot of men and women in this church who've had blessings upon blessings when the devil tried to tell them they wouldn't be blessed. You just do right till the stars fall. That's what you need to do. I wonder, are you living your life tonight with the finish line in mind? Are you just do a little church, do a little this, do a little that? Or are you pressing toward the mark? Are you pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Are you living your life for the corruptible crown or the incorruptible crown? Are you living your life for today or are you living your life for eternity? You say, oh, sometimes I just don't have all that discipline like you preach about to read the Bible, to get up a little early, to witness, to go to Wednesday Bible study. I just am not as disciplined. No, no. It is often not about discipline. It's about devotion. Because you don't have any problem getting up early to go deep sea fishing Saturday morning. It's not a matter of discipline. I'm just not disciplined like you are. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not a disciplined man. But when I wake up every morning and think about what matters most and who I'm living for and who I serve, it causes me to have a reason to be a disciplined man. Fall in love with Jesus Christ, my friend. I remember when Terry and I were dating. Oh, I'm telling you. And I'm telling you right now, I shouldn't admit it, but I think most people that were in love at one time, you'd have to admit the same thing. It was flat out idolatry. That's what it was. Man, I didn't wake up in the morning first off thinking about the Lord like I should. I mean, I did briefly, but I was thinking, man, I wonder what I'm going to wear for Terry today. And I better have the right cologne on. I better really brush my teeth till my gums bleed. Man, I wanted to do my best to win her. And there ought to be some men leave this room tonight saying, I want to give my best to Jesus this week. Amen. I want to fall in love with Him again so that I'll live the life of discipline. I'll have my devotions tomorrow. I'll be a witness this week. I'll be faithful to the house of God. I'll not just live for the kids. I'm going to stand before Jesus for me. I'm going to live for the Savior. I wonder, are you living tonight below the baseline with a discipline that causes you to run the race, looking unto Jesus, ready to stand at the Bema seat, looking forward to what you can give back to the Lord Jesus Christ? You know what I find? When you don't live a disciplined life and you have to go to the doctor, it's usually not fun. They always say about the same thing. Well, you need to lose this much weight. Come on, some of you, I won't point any out here, but some of you can help me. That's what they tell us. That's what they tell some of us. You need to lose this much weight. Your cholesterol's this much. You got this much of this and that. And they say you need to work on that a little bit. Let me tell you something. You ought to not view the coming of Christ like a doctor's appointment. You ought to view the coming of Christ as, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I'm ready to see the Lord. Are you ready tonight? Are you ready? Are you below the baseline living a devotedly disciplined life for Jesus Christ? If not now, why not now? Why not start tonight?
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.